We're back to chapter 119. Can you believe it? A whole year has gone by. So we're up to the letter Ches. And whilst I could give you a whole song and dance about the letter Ches, as some of the commentaries in Tilum do, I don't think that's really, it's really accurate or important or relevant. The most important thing for us is to learn the verses the David HaMelech selected for the letter Ches. And perhaps when it's all finished, we could do a summary and see how this best reflects the message of this particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We are going to pick up our studies today with verse 57, chapter 119 of Tilum, verse 57. And this is one of those extremely deceptively seeming verses. It looks very easy on the surface. And as I was preparing today's class, I was thinking to myself how many hundreds or maybe thousands of times I have uttered, recited, mumbled, and said these words, thinking I understood them and realizing now that I really didn't understand it at all. Maybe now we understand it a little. Let's see. So it sounds very easy. Chelki Hashem, God is my portion. Amarti, I said, Lishmer Dvarecha. I'm going to keep your words. Very simple. God's my portion. I said it. I'm going to do what he says. Well, let's start with the following question. If Chelki Hashem, if God is my portion, so why do we need the Amarti? Obviously, David HaMelech is saying these things. Tilum is articulated. It's things he's verbalizing, right? This is what he wrote down for posterity. Clearly, he said this. So what do you mean, Chelki Hashem Amarti? I said God is my portion. And what does Lishmar Dvarecha have to do with Chelki Hashem? What does keeping your words have to do with God being my portion? Now, I think it's important for us to point out that this is not the first time David HaMelech says something like this. This is chapter 119, which is towards the end of the book of Tilum. But if you turn back to chapter 16, David HaMelech makes a very similar statement. Take a look in chapter 16, verse 5. David HaMelech says, Hashem menos chelki, which freely translates as, God is my allotted portion, v'choisi, and my shear. Ata teimer geroli, you support my lot. He didn't say anything to anybody. He didn't do anything. This is matter-of-factly. David HaMelech is saying that God is my portion. And he acknowledges that God supports his lot. If you would take a look in the Mitzudas David, on chapter 16, verse 5, the Mitzudah says, Hashem, hu hamone hanita lechelki, that's the portion that was given to me as mine. In other words, what does it mean God is my portion? I keep God in my pocket? I wear him around my neck in a necklace? Lock him in a box? What does it mean God is mine? Keep him on a leash? What does it mean? So the Mitzudas David says, Ratzoleimar, he means to say, Boy ani mamin, that's who I believe in. This is my God, in other words. Like that famous book, This is My God. This is my God, David HaMelech says, this is what I worship. People worship a whole plethora of things, and I worship Hashem. This is my portion, this is what I'm about. That's the beginning, it's the middle, it's the end, that's who I am. Okay. So number one, there's no Amarti here. Number two, there's no Lishmer Dvarecha. I mean, it would be self-understood. If God is my portion, this is what I believe in, so naturally I'm going to do what God says. So the question I'm posing to you is, and I'm framing today's class in this initial question, why is it that when David HaMelech first uses this terminology, the first time he engages in this kind of verbiage, he says, Hashem is my portion. And he uses the word chelki, which means my portion, choisi, my lot. Goyroli is like another term for my lot. There's three terms that speak about this is mine, my piece, my lot, my portion. Here, David HaMelech uses only one of those words. He just uses the word chelki. But here he adds in the words amarti. And he also says lishmer dvarecha. So in verse 16, it seems to be a declaration of faith. Whereas in verse 57 of chapter 119, it seems to be saying something other simply than this is what I believe in. So since we started with the Mitzudas David, I'm going to take you back to the Mitzudas David. I'm going to share with you his interpretation, the way he understood this. He said, Amarti lakol, I broadcast this for everybody to hear. Hashem hu chelki, God is my portion. Uvoi ani ma'amin, it's him, it's God who I believe in. Vahu maishi'i, he is my savior. And why am I telling this to everyone? Why am I broadcasting this? Laman says Mitzudas David, Gam kol Hashem meya, anybody who will hear me, Yishmer dvarecha. Excuse me. So anybody who will hear me will also begin to keep Hashem's words. In other words, from the perspective of the Mitzudas David, initially, David HaMelech, King David, makes a statement of his faith. It's a personal thing. Hashem inas chelki, God and David HaMelech, private relationship. And the king is now expressing himself towards Hashem. In verse 119, he's not expressing himself towards Hashem per se. He's speaking about his relationship with God. And the reason that he's speaking about it is so that others will borrow a page from his playbook, so that they will be inspired to live as he has lived. That's how the Mitzudas would put it. So the answer to your question is, what's Amarti? What's the saying over here? Chelki Hashem Amarti? Before, it was a matter of fact. Now it's a matter of public knowledge. For it was a private affair. And now he's going public. And what does the idea of Lishmer Dvarecha have to do with Hashem Chelki? So the Mitzvah David says, this is because David HaMelech hopes by wearing his faith on his sleeve, which is not so popular in the Western world. You're not supposed to talk about your faith. You're supposed to keep it under the carpet. I mean, you're really not supposed to, but that's what the Western world thinks. David HaMelech wears his faith proudly on his sleeve. He wears his heart on his sleeve. And he talks about his faith. And his hope is to inspire others, that they also should do the right thing. Ibn Ezra seems to say the same thing. He says, Ze amarti l'rabim. This is what I said to the public. This was a public broadcast. And why did I do so? Why am I emoting in public? Why am I speaking my personal and private relationship with God to everybody? Ulai, maybe yishmeru dvarecha. Maybe they'll keep his words. So the hope is that others will be inspired by it. This is one approach. This is one way of understanding Chelki Hashem Amarti. We basically have a restatement of what David HaMelech said earlier, previously in a private prayer, now in a public proclamation. Rabbeinu David Kimchi de Radak takes a different approach to this pasuk. He says, David HaMelech now is explaining in detail the meaning of Chelki. God is my portion. And what does that mean, God is my portion? What does it mean? What does it mean God is mine? So the David says, Kishabacharu acherim chelkam, when others chose for themselves, hamomoin, vahanas ha'ilam, wealth, affluence, the pleasures that this world has to offer, says David HaMelech, Ani amarti, I said, Hashem chelki Hashem, God is my portion. Ve'ein li ela lishmer dvarecha. In other words, this is a value statement. People have different values. And oftentimes, people will say they have lofty values, but we don't look so much at what somebody says. We look really at how you live your life. So if the values in somebody's life, which means the time, the wherewithal, the energy is all devoted towards making another dollar or having some more fun or experiencing yet another rung of delight in this world. So that's your value system. That's what you function for. It's what you live for. And David HaMelech says, it's like as if saying, you have chosen such and such. You have a value system that is materialistic. You have a value system that's based on and steeped in self-gratification. And I say, says the king, and I say, Chelki Hashem, God is my portion. So it's as if here David HaMelech is responding to others. He's speaking in contrast to what's around him. Perhaps other monarchs, other people of power and influence in the world that David HaMelech came in contact with, which is distilled into a verse, a pasuk in Tehillim, which ultimately becomes a vehicle through which each and every one of ourselves could express and could give ear to his Yiddishkeit loyalty to Hashem. So we say, you look around the world and you see the value systems that others have adopted. You see the kinds of ways others live their lives. And you proudly say, as our David HaMelech said, you know what I say? And I say, Chelki Hashem, God is my portion. The corollary between Ibn Ezra Mitzvot's David and between the Radak is very, very interesting. In both approaches to this pasuk, in both dimensions of understanding the words of David HaMelech, this is a public statement. It's almost a response. In Mitzvot's David and Ibn Ezra, it is not a response, but rather it is a hope. A hope that people will be inspired by, he's trying to engage by virtue of public proclamation, by virtue of public expression. David HaMelech hopes to inspire, to engage others. According to Radak, David HaMelech is looking around, observing at what the value system that others have engaged in or that others follow. And David HaMelech, as if it were, he doesn't speak about this. This is the unspoken part of the verse. It's as if he's observed all of this. And then after observing and taking it all in, his response is, and I say, Chelki Hashem Amarti. Only in Hebrew, sometimes the I say comes after. God is my portion, say I, says David HaMelech.
Maybe I shouldn't say this about David, but maybe he's saying that to reinforce himself. Because just like people say, you know, I'm going to say this to everybody and now I have to do it.
Okay, first of all, you're allowed to say that. There's nothing, you don't have to apologize for saying it. I'm going to repeat what you said, okay? You said David HaMelech may be speaking to himself. And maybe sometimes people talk to themselves a little. And sometimes when you speak to yourself, you reinforce. We all do it. Doesn't mean you have to verbalize it. Once upon a time, if you saw a person walking down the street talking to himself, you thought he's a little daft. Something's not normal. Now you figure he's probably wearing a headset. Right? Talking on the phone. To speak to oneself, one does not have to verbalize. There's an incredible story about a man, a young rabbi living in Silver Spring, Maryland, who has these quandaries and questions, doesn't know which way to turn in life. And everything seems to be imploding. I guess he's experiencing an early midlife crisis. And even though he was a student of Yeshiva University, later became a very, very famous rabbi, a leader in the modern Orthodox movement and Young Israel movement, he felt that he Lubavitcher Rebbe would be the only one who could answer his question. So he calls 770 Eastern Parkway, and he asks Rabbi Chodakov, who's the Rebbe's secretary, chief secretary, he says, you'd like an appointment with the Rebbe. So Rabbi Chodakov gives him an appointment. It was, I don't know, several months away, middle of the night. So he said, several months? I don't know if I could survive several days. And then he hears a strange voice, a voice he didn't hear before, and turns out it's the Rebbe's voice. And the Rebbe says, Zogem, tells Rabbi Chodakov, Zogem, tell him that there's a man named such and such living in Silver Spring. He should go speak to him. And he says his name. But there's no caller ID in 1973. So the man is shocked. He's shocked. He says, but I am that person. And Rabbi Chodakov clearly is caught off surprise, off guard too. So I think Rabbi Chodakov said to him, Am moldav mereden zu sich. Sometimes you have to speak to yourself. And this man didn't have that audience with the Rebbe, but he did subsequently meet with the Rebbe a number of times. And he says, till this very day, when he has a quandary in life, he'll take one of the Rebbe's talks, He's not a Lubavitcher, he's not a chassid. Or he says he's not a chassid. He'll study something, a teaching from the Rebbe. He'll contemplate it deeply. He'll reach deep inside himself and he'll find the answers that he needs. So there is. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Maybe David HaMelech did speak to himself as well. And maybe Tehillim was as much for himself as it was for others. But I'm going to remind you that all of Tehillim David HaMelech is saying, I don't have to say I'm saying. And if you go back to verse 16, David HaMelech said the same thing without saying he said it. We understand it's David HaMelech saying it because verse 16 is David HaMelech speaking. Verse 16 is one of the chapters of Tehillim that was composed by David HaMelech, not one of those that was taken from other previous sources. As it says in the beginning of the verse, Michtam le David, a special song for David. And in verse 5, David HaMelech says, because the entire verse is from David HaMelech, he says, Hashem minos chelki, God is my portion, v'chaisi, he's my lot, ata taimer gerali. Who was he speaking to? Obviously, he was speaking to God, he was speaking to himself. But the question that I pose for you is, what is the word Amarti doing over here? We know David HaMelech is speaking. So he should say, Chelki Hashem. Maybe Eshmor Dvarecha. You are my portion. I will keep your words. If David HaMelech was speaking to himself, the word Amarti would be superfluous. If David HaMelech was speaking to himself, it shouldn't say Lishmor, it should say Eshmor. Not in order to keep, but I will keep. And that's what leads David, and the Radak in a direction that this must be a response to others. And there we have two different approaches, two dimensions. All of this, of course, is Teiras Emes. It's all Divrei Elikim Chayim, the words of our living God. So the words of David HaMelech that come across in Hebrew, Chelki Hashem Amarti, Lishmer Dvarecha, are understood by Ibn Ezra and the Metzudas to be David HaMelech's statement that hopes to engender inspiration for others. David HaMelech hopes, he aspires to inspire others. And according to Radak, you've chosen a materialistic life, that kind of value system. And I say, Chelki Hashem. And then ultimately, I guess, you could take that to its natural conclusion. So why did David HaMelech say this? What was the point of saying, you say you follow materialistic life, and I say? I suppose Radak would travel the same path as the Ibn Ezra or Metzudas and saying, yeah, and therefore, hopefully, they will be inspired to change their ways. Although he doesn't give ear, doesn't say that at all. So here's the problem with this whole way of understanding the chapter Tehillim, which is very nice, by the way. It's very nice, it's very beautiful. Here's the problem. Two problems. Number one, our sages say nothing like this. In Medrash Tehillim, it doesn't say this. Number two, Rashi, who is always our primary guide when it comes to scripture, also doesn't say it. And that leads us in a different direction now. So after I've introduced this straightforward, simple meaning, the idea of, the way the Metzudas put it, and the way the Radak put it, I'll add to you that the Meiri says David HaMelech is emphasizing Chelki Hashem in a singular fashion. That is my only portion. That this is Ainli Ella Lishmar, Rakhardak said. This is only thing I'm interested in. So since it's the only thing I'm interested in, the Meiri says, but in fact, I have to do other things. We do other things. It's not our value system, but yes, we need to dress ourselves and we need to groom ourselves and we need to live in some kind of normative environment and atmosphere. We need to earn a living. We have other pursuits in life. So the Meiri says, this is all secondary. This is not what life's about. That's not what life's about. Life for me, David HaMelech says, there's the things I do because I must and the things I do because I want to. World of difference. World of difference. And therefore, David HaMelech makes a statement, this is who I am. This is my value system. And so that should be our value system. It should be who we want to be and aspire to be. So let's take a look now in the Medrash Tehillim, because this is the actual commentary of our sages. And very, very interestingly, the Medrash Tehillim seems to say nothing like this. Quote. Chelki Hashem amarti lishmo dvarecha. Omar Moshe, Moses said, Ki am kodesh atal Hashem alikecha, you are a holy nation unto God. Bechem bochar Hashem alikenu. In you, the Lord our God has chosen. Says the scripture, never. Ein ksivkan. It doesn't say, Bechem bochar Hashem alikenu, in you, plural, the Lord God has chosen. Elo, what does it say? It says, Becho bochar Hashem alikecha. In you, your God has chosen. And the Medrash Tilim highlights and emphasizes the words of Moshe Rabbeinu that speak not in the plural fashion, inclusive of the nation. God has chosen the Hebrew nation. But rather, the idea that God has chosen you as an individual. So there's a famous Yiddish expression. They said, Ihr wilt wissen, wie macht Klal Yisrael? You want to know how the plurality of the Jewish people are? The nation of Israel? Freg was macht Rebbe Yisrael. Then interest yourself in Rebbe Yisrael, which is a euphemism, like an honorific for Rabbi or Mr. Israel. Because Israel is a nation. Israel is supposed to be a personal name. The Baal Shem Tov's name is Yisrael. In other words, you want to know how the nation of Israel is doing? Find out how the individual, the person in Israel is doing. Which is to say that when it comes to Yiddishkeit, there's as much importance placed on the welfare of the nation as there is on the individual. There are lots of people who believe in Judaism for the isms. They believe in the plurality of Judaism. They want Judaism to survive, and they believe that mitzvahs are important. They believe we should give money and support and build Judaism. And then you say, would you like to put on tefillin? They say, no, I have no time for that. But I believe in Judaism. Would you like to light Shabbat candles? Shabbat candles. Please, Rabbi. I'm a busy man. I'm a busy woman. We have things to do. We have a life to live. But we believe in Judaism. So here's our check. And we support the big causes. And we believe in Jewish community. You cannot believe in Jewish community without believing in Jewish individuality. Jewish individuality does not mean that everybody who's Jewish should be feted and celebrated for every shtick or mishagas, for every craziness or idiosyncrasy that he or she expresses. Jewish individuality means that it's equally important for every individual to be engaged, for each individual to perform mitzvahs and to cultivate and nourish a relationship with God, as it is for there to be a Jewish nation who does that. If we don't have a nation made up of individuals who pray and study, of individuals who observe and perform, then what are we believing in? So it's not about the nation, it's about the individual. If Judaism is important, your mitzvahs have to be important. Your Yiddishkeit has to be important. These are not my words. These are the words of the Medrash Tilim that our sages said, and they were documented nearly 2,000 years ago. And this is the way the Medrash Tilim puts it. Afilu echad mikem, even one of you, just one, chaviv ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu yeser mikol ha'umis, is more precious in Hashem's eyes than all the nations of the world. Hashem does not just love or chose or selected the nation of Israel, but rather each and every individual Yid. Hashem loves every individual Yid in a special fashion. We believe that every Yid is a child of God. Quite literally, every human being is created in the image of God. We believe in the importance of human life, the sanctity of human life. We believe in the responsibility that God places upon each and every member of the human race to live a life that is virtuous and appropriate, a life that is suitable, a life that is mission-driven and God-centered. But there are just a small selection of these human beings whom Hashem cherishes as his individual children. And that is the meaning of being an Am HaNivchar, chosen nation. V'chein, similarly says the Medrash Tilim, Yishayahu Omar, Prophet Isaiah said, Kol HaGoyim Ka'ayin Negdecho, Negdoi. All the nations are like nothing in comparison to you. And the Medrash Tilim interprets this not referring to God, but referring to every single member of Am Yisrael. Lakach Nemar. That says the Medrash Tilim is why it says Becho Bachar Hashem Alikecha, that God has chosen you. Hu bachar bachem. He chose you. Atem bachartim boy. And you chose him. He chose you. You chose him. And this is the meaning of the verse, which is also found in the book of Psalms in chapter 135, verse 4. It says, Ki Yaakov bochar layo, that Jacob chose God. Chose God. And it also says, Hashem bochar be Yaakov. God chose Jacob. So God chose Jacob, and Jacob chose God. And this is the meaning of Ani ledodi vedodi li. I am to my beloved. I fall in love with God. Vedodi li. And in turn, God falls in love with me. So we're in love with God. We're in love with each other. We chose him. He chose us. V'chein hu oimer. And this is the meaning. Chelki Hashem amarti. The Medrash Tilim says, you want to understand the words Chelki Hashem amarti. God is my portion. What it means, says the Medrash Tilim, is that I chose God. That's the meaning of it's my portion. I chose God. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lahem, and God said in response, Chelki Atem, you are my portion. V'Sheli Atem, you are mine. And therefore, since we chose him, and he chose us, he is ours and we are his. U'mani m'vakash mikem, what do I ask? Devarim, a couple of things. What's the things? Ah, this is what says in the Shema prayer. V'hoyu ha'dvarim ha'ela. And these things, asher anochi mitzav eschem hayom la'avos Hashem elokecha, to love God, and so on and so forth. And then it says also in the book of Deuteronomy, v'samtem es dvarei ela, also in Shema. Dvarei ela alavavchem, and v'hoyim shumaya, in the second chapter of Shema, it says, I place these things. So dvarei and dvarim, these are the things. L'kach nemar, chalke Hashem amarti, lishmer dvarecho. In other words, this is a rather long Medrash Tilim, but what the Medrash Tilim basically is saying to us is that the statement Chelki Hashem Amarti speaks to the relationship of God and the Jewish people, reciprocally. We chose God, and God chose us. And because we chose God and he chose us, naturally, the things that he expects of us, we should be doing. The Medrash Tilim seems to be speaking about something somewhat different, at least, than the Mitzuda says and the Radak says. And the Mitzuda's David again says, I told everybody about God being mine. I told everybody my faith in God. So I'm hoping since they hear about my faith, they'll also do the same thing. Radak emphasized, I have a value system. But here, the Medrash Tilim seems to be speaking not only about my faith in God, not only about the belief that he is my soul savior, not only the notion that it's my value system, but rather this is about the relationship with God himself. This is about my relationship. That's the meaning of Chelki. And that the word Chelki, portion, my portion, sums up, if you will, our relationship with God. So the question is how to understand this Medrash Tilim and square it with what the other Rishonim are saying. And as such, now I want to go to Rashi, who we have not looked at yet. Okay, so we looked at the Mitzudas David, kind of includes also the Ibn Ezra. We looked at the Radak, which seems also to include the Seferno? Me'iri. And now we're going to take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says nothing about the words Chelki Hashem. Rashi doesn't say anything about the words Amarti. Rashi's comment is directed to the last two words of this verse. Lishmer dvarecha. To keep your words. Rashi says, Kiyem dvarecha, the fulfillment of your words, sheyichaltoni, Bekach, which this is what I have hoped. Sorry, Shechaltoni, this has been my hope, or therefore I hope. Bekach ato chelki. In this way, you are my portion. Understand what Rashi's saying? He doesn't interpret the words Chelki. Everybody knows what Chelki is my portion. Chelki Hashem, okay, God is my portion. Omarti, I said it. I said God's my portion. Okay, very nice. I said God's my portion. The challenge here is, what does the words Lishmar Dvarach have to do? This is a statement about my relationship. So I have a relationship. I love you, God. You're my portion. That should constitute a verse unto itself. There is the relationship itself, and then there's what happens because of the relationship. So one spouse will say to the other, I love you. And not, I love you, so fine, I'll change the diaper. Fine, I'll do what you asked me to do because I love you. That's kind of weird. Please do X, Y, and Z, fine. And then there are times, there are special times when there's a more emotional exchange, more subtle exchange. I love you. Love doesn't have to be come along with anything. I love you, therefore. We don't need a therefore. I love you. Yid daven to Hashem. There's times to do mitzvahs. There's times to study Torah. There's time to daven. It's a moting. Person opens a tillum and he recites words of love to Hashem. And maybe even a tear rolls down his cheek. It's a beautiful thing. He's yearning for Hashem. He's feeling close to Hashem. That's nice. That's good. It's appropriate. It's fine. If we can achieve that sometimes, a feeling of closeness to Hashem, if we can emote to Hashem, if we can speak to Hashem, we'll be davening well. That's good. That's a vodah shebelev. That's a service of the heart. Imagine somebody will come and say, he's davening to Hashem with fervor. He's pouring himself out. So what are you davening in fervor? Who needs your fervor? You go do mitzvahs now. I says, like, let me finish davening. I'll go do mitzvahs after. Really, sometimes people get carried away with their fervor and they don't want to do anything. Like these students who are earning their fourth degree, you know, like they're in their 30s, they just like to earn degrees and stay in university. That has to have a tachlis. The tachlis, the ultimate purpose of inspiration, is to translate the inspiration into practical life. There's a story told about Michal Bliner, who was the mashpia, senior spiritual guide in Lubavitch, that there was once a boy who was somewhat wealthy, came from a wealthy home, and he received care packages from his parents, and he always had shekels or rubles in his pocket. And he was once davening, as Bachram would proverbially do in Yeshivas Taim Chatmim, the original Lubavitch Yeshiva, they would daven with great fervor and sometimes great length. And he was in the middle of saying Shema, and he was saying Shema with great fervor, and he's pouring his heart out. And Michal Bliner said, stop snapping your finger and saying Shema. Your friend has holes in his shoes. Go buy him a pair of shoes. And sometimes we escape reality, the things we have to do, because we're going to emote now. There's time for everything. And the Michal understood that this boy needed to hear that at that time. He was an educator, as Mashpiyim once upon a time used to be. And he understood what this guy needed. That's fine. But can anybody tell me that it's bad to emote to Hashem? It's inappropriate to say, I love you, God? Nothing wrong. So the verse should say, Chelki Hashem Amarti. I said, you're my portion. In fact, if we go back to verse 16, what does it say over there? Chapter 16, verse 5. What did David HaMelech say? Hashem enos chalki v'chaisi atatem el geroli. He didn't say, I'm going to do. He didn't say, I'm going to keep. He said, you're my portion. You're my lot. You support me. It's a statement of love. But here, the love is very quickly followed with, and therefore. So that's a question. So Rashi deals with this question. And therefore, Rashi doesn't transcribe anything on the words Chelki Hashem Amarti. You know, I'll go out on a limb and tell you Rashi doesn't have to say anything because this has already been said before. We have this before already. This is not the first time we see these words. This is the first time these words are followed up with Lishmar Dvarecha, to keep your words. It's about like an action-oriented statement of love. So Rashi says, clearly, the words Lishmar Dvarecha are not simply a plan of action. It's not simply a pledge of practical allegiance. Here's what I'll do because I love you. But rather, Rashi is explaining to us that the words Lishmar Dvarecha is commentary, is explaining the words Chelki Hashem Amarti. Let me phrase that a little differently. What is the meaning of Chelki Hashem? What is the meaning of God is my portion? How is God my portion? What does it mean God is mine? So Rashi says, Ki eim dvarecha, the keeping of your words. And I have to tell you, I had a very hard time with this Rashi, but Judaic oppressed Tillim. It's a very, very good translation by some Rabbi Rosenberg. I don't know who he was. Anyway, I'm going to read to you the words that he uses because I don't even know how to read this into the words, but this is what he says. He says, he seems to translate Rashi like this. The Lord is my portion, comma, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope to him. And he says, he attributes, he says, that's what Rashi means. And the way he seems to understand Rashi is by connecting verses 57 to verses 58. So let's take a look now at verse 58 and try to sew both verses together. Rashi says, Chilisi fanecha b'chol leif. So the word chilisi fanecha is most often translated as entreaty, pleading, begging. And that's what the Mitzvot Tzion says. It says, chilisi is inyan bakosha, a request. Like it says, Vayichal Moshe, and Moshe requested. So he says, chilisi fanecha, this idea of I have yearned, I have entreated your face. B'chol lev, with my entire heart. Choneni ki'imrosecha, grant me grace or compassion like your words. And which words are these? So according to Mitzudas, these are the words of Nasan Hanavi to David. According to Ibn Ezra and according to Radak, these are the words in Vayichal Moshe that Hashem says, V'chanoisi es asher ochein, I will be graceful to the one I am gracious with. I'll be gracious to whoever I'm gracious with. However, Rashi, if you take a look in Rashi, Rashi seems to understand the word chilisi fonecha differently. And strangely, at least to me, all the English translations do not follow Rashi. They all follow the idea of entreaty or begging. But Rashi says chilisi fonecha bilashoin chelki Hashem amro nafshi. But what I'm saying essentially is, in the language of a continuation of verse 57, that God is my portion, amro nafshi. My soul said, God is my portion. Al kein oichiloi, because God is my portion, that's why I yearn for him. In other words, that there are two possible words when it comes to two possible meanings of the word chilisi. Chilisi could mean from chila. Chila means to entreat. Chilisi comes from the word like yachel. Yachel Yisrael El Hashem means Israel hopes to God. Rashi seems to learn the pshat and the word chilisi not as the concept of entreaty, but rather of yachel, of hope. My hope is to God. So Rashi then is telling us the David HaMelech statement of Chelki Hashem, that Chelki Hashem means that God is my portion. Amarti means Amro Nafshi. My soul says Chelki Hashem. My soul says that God is my portion. And because my soul says God is my portion, that's why I yearn for God, because he's my portion. Al Kein Oichalei, that's why I yearn for him. Now let's go back to 57. Rashi says, Ki im dvarecha, the fulfillment of your words, Sheichaltani, in which I have hoped, or therefore I hope, Bekach atochelki. That's how you become my portion. You understand what we're trying to say here? A little bit? Chelki Hashem, amarti, God is my portion, I said, Lishmer dvarecha. Do you know what that means, Chelki Hashem? Do you know how I can achieve Chelki Hashem? How God can be my portion? God can be my portion when I will do his bidding. So when I do what God wants, that's when God's my portion. I often tell people that in Western morality, we create God in our own image, and then we worship it. In other words, we lecture to God. We tell God what he should want, what is nice, what is beautiful, what is moral, what is righteous, what is appropriate. And then after we're finished emoting and expressing ourselves as to what we think, which tree we decide to hug, which sunset we favor, which flavor of morality we choose today, when we're finished doing that, then we emote to God afterwards, which essentially is a refined form of idolatry. An idol was, you chose an idol. You chose a star, you chose a planet, you chose a constellation, you worshipped it. That was the first generation. The next generation didn't bother choosing planets and stars. They were too far away. Instead, they chose mountains and trees, rivers and seas, right? Oracles. And then the next generation said, why choose something somebody else made? It's much nicer, I make it myself. And they made their own idols. People love what they make. They made their own statues. And then when they finished crafting their own statue, then they prostrated themselves before it and they worshipped it. Which is a very grave sin, just by the way. That's called Avodah Zarah. What does Yiddishkeit ask of us? Yiddishkeit asks of us that we should understand that we are created in God's image. And because we're created in God's image, we should seek to do what God wants from us. Not that we should tell God, we should create God in our image, or superimpose ourselves on some kind of great backdrop of the universe and say, since this is what I like, since this is what makes me feel good, since this is what I enjoy, it must be that that's God and that's what I should worship. But instead, God is far greater than we'll ever be. We are never going to fathom and plumb the depths and profundity of divinity. However, we know we're created in God's image, and therefore we have to humbly ask, what does Hashem ask and expect of me? And when I know what Hashem asks and expects of me, so then I can worship Hashem, I can serve God. Does this make sense? Sound familiar? Is it not reasonable what I'm saying? This is not what Western civilization says? There's various isms we've created. I don't know, we. The Western world is created. What's right, what's decent, what's good, it flies in the face of Torah? Well, that's fix the Torah. Make the Torah work for me. You have to adjust it. You have to engineer it to get rid of all the toxins in Torah, because Torah is problematic. And when I'm finished getting all the, you know, shake out all the wiggles and all the wrinkles, then the Torah will be nice and beautiful. Then it will fit the perfection of 2017. Then it will be valuable. Then it will be virtuous. Then it will be meaningful. Until then, we have a problem with it. But this is very, very old, not new. It's not progressive, it's regressive. It's basic idolatry. So David HaMelech says, God is my portion. In what way is God mine? What does it mean, God's my portion? Chelki Hashem. What does it mean, God's my portion? It sounds very presumptuous. This is my house. This is my dog. This is my child. This is my spouse. This is my God. I own. It's mine. I control it. I dominate it.
He lives inside us.
Ah, he lives inside us. So, well, what does that mean, he lives inside us? You're not wrong. Let's get to the living inside us in a minute. We're going to go soon into the teachings of Kabbalah. But we're going first from the typical approach to this to what I think is Rashi's very unique approach. And I'm going to humbly suggest that Rashi is following the Medrash Tilim, even though I don't know this for a fact. But that's how it seems to me. Because Rashi seems to take a different path. He doesn't say what the Mitzudas, Ibn Ezra, Radak, Meiri, Sepharno, he doesn't say what they say. He says something different. He doesn't even comment. They all comment on the words Chelki Hashem Amarti. Rashi doesn't even comment on the words Chelki Hashem. He only comments on the words Lishma Dvarecha. Because it seems to me that the biggest challenge here in this pasuk is the last two words. The first three words are just David HaMelech emoting about God. Okay, that's cool. He's done this already. This is already in chapter 16 of Tilim, Psalm 16. So what then does Lishmer Dvarecha, what then does this path of action have to do with this emotional connection to Hashem? Says Rashi, because Kiim Dvarecha, because the fulfillment of your words, Sheyichaltoni, which I have hoped for, which I yearn for, Bekach, in this Atochelki. That's the meaning of God is mine. God is mine because I do what he says. That's why he's my God. He's not my friend. He's not my equal. He's my God. Because he's my God, whatever my God says, I'm going to do. Even if I don't like what my God says. Even if it makes me uncomfortable. Even if I don't understand it. Why? Because he's my God. That shows Chelki. That's why he's my God. That's how he's my God. Now think about the words of Rashi and think about the Medrash Tilim we just read. Doesn't that sound the same? God chose us and we chose him. And how does God choose us? What did the Medrash Tilim emphasize? Medrash Tilim emphasized not just the idea that God chooses us. Medrash Tilim emphasized the notion that it says, "B'cha b'cha Hashem elekecha." Your God. Because the meaning of choosing God, if he's my God, what does my God mean? My God means that I need to do what God expects of me. If I can't personalize my relationship with God, if it has to be just some universal ideas, if it has to speak about the welfare, the good, the history, the future of a nation, that's not called Hashem Chelki. That's not called Hashem being my portion. Hashem being my portion means that it's Hashem Elikecha. And that means Afilo Echad Michem Chaviv. I have to understand that God invests everything in me because he loves me. Because he wants me. What does he want from me? He wants me to create my own image of him. He wants me to do what he says. So we choose God and he chooses us. We choose God. How do we choose God as our God? We choose God as our God when we behave towards God with the respect that one should afford towards one's creator. He's my God. He's my God. If he's God, I do everything God wants. There's a very interesting Alshich. And the Alshich says like this. He says, you have the source and you have a piece. Which will follow which? Will the piece follow the source or the source follow the piece? The piece will follow the source. Or so logic would dictate. Says the Alshich, hini yidu haklal, kol chelik nimshech achar haklal. The piece will follow the source, the generality. Ulefize, if so, hayitzarech lihis dveikuseinu ba'Hashem yoisem midveikusoy eleinu. We should experience much more powerful cleaving and yearning for God than he experiences for us. We should be trying to connect to God, not God trying to connect to us. Ach lepoil, however, he says, factually speaking, hu davuk banu yeser, he cleaves to us more. He cleaves to us more. God yearns for us more than we yearn for him. And that's why, says the Alshich, it's ke'ilu hu chelkenu, as if he is ours. As if he's ours, as if we like possessive. We're like, yeah, he's my God. We should say, I am God's, not God is mine. But yet God says to us, I am yours. And so I say to my creator, says Alshich, Shaliyi Aminaged Li Achla Atzmi Odaiti HaEmes. He says, the truth is that I have to say this to those who would, if there's somebody who opposes my Yiddishkeit, he says, this is my response to them. However, he says, I need to still know the truth. And I need to know the truth. The truth is that I have to seek out God, not the other way around. In different words, the Alshich essentially is explaining to us the interplay of verse 57 and verse 58, which Rashi explains in the image of the Medrash Tilim, in the frame of the Medrash Tilim. I say, Chelki Hashem Amarti, I say the Lord is my portion. And how is the Lord my portion? He's mine. I mean, God makes himself ours. How does he make himself ours? By giving us the opportunity to do mitzvahs. Like the Alter Rebbe brings that in Tanya, that it says, V'yikhu li truma, that V'yikhu li truma means take for me truma. Hashem asks us for a donation to make a mishkan. He says, V'yikhu li. The expression is, Oisi atam leikhim. You're actually taking God. You think you're giving away? You're getting far more than you give. By giving the contribution, you get God. God says, take me. I'm giving you a piece of me, so to speak. I make myself yours. I make myself yours if you'll only do what I say. So our statement to the world, if you want to say like the Mitzvah says, or like Radak says, my statement to the world is, Chelki Hashem, God is my portion. That's what I say to everybody. But says the Alshich, why do I do this lishma dvarecha? So that I'll have the strength to overcome whatever gets in the way and keep your words. But he says, in your heart of hearts, you should know that it's not God supposed to be seeking you, but instead, you're supposed to be seeking God. Chalisi fonecha b'chol leiv. I, in turn, sought out God with my whole heart. Choneini kim rosecha. Grant me grace like your words. In other words, Hashem says he makes himself ours. So we say, I'm seeking out God. I'm yearning for God, not the other way around. There's the external reality and the internal reality. There's the persona we assume in defeating our Yetzihara and the things that get in our way. And then there's how we should feel inside our hearts. I'm going to put this aside for a minute. I'm going to come back to it soon from a perspective of the teachers of Kabbalah. So to recap, and I apologize if we're going in circles. I hope are you guys following? Mm-hmm. A little bit, yes? In this verse, on a simple level, when we learned the Rishonim, David HaMelech says, Chelki Hashem Amarti, he was publicly broadcasting his faith, wearing his heart on his sleeve, telling everybody about his value system, about what life is supposed to be like, and the hope was that in turn, Lishmer Dvarecha, others would follow suit. And David HaMelech said that he yearned for God b'chol leiv, with all his heart he yearned for God, and that all he sought ultimately was that God be gracious to him. So it's all about having that relationship, that oneness, that communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Holy One, blessed be He. However, we now learned that Rashi, likely in the frame of the Medrash Tilim, is what's really happening here, is that David HaMelech is explaining how God is mine. How is He my God? He is my God when I do what He says. And when I do what He says, He makes Himself my God, although really we should be His more than He should be ours. So we follow verse 57 with verse 58. Our hope is that we will be His. He is ours. He is ours when we do what He wants of us, when we worship, when we serve Him, and we hope that we will be His. Tell me if I lost anybody. No? Yeah? Following? Now, my friends, I want to take you into a third room. You have to go. Okay, you only got two rooms. So here, the first hall we entered was the hall where we heard the teachings of Metzudas, Ibn Ezer, Sepharno, Radak. Then we entered into the hall where we discovered the words of our sages, and we think Rashi. Now I'm going to take you into an inner sanctum, and here I'm going to share with you the way Rabbi Moshe Cordoviro, who was the predecessor of the Arizal, the way he taught this verse, and the way the disciple, one of the disciples of the Arizal, whose name was Reb Shmuel b'Reb Yitzchok, what was his last name? Got to give you his name. Because his name was Ozida, or Otsida. He also is the author of the Lechem Dima on Megillas Eicha, and he also wrote a commentary on Megillas Rus, which we study. It's called Igeres Shmuel. So if maybe we learn Igeres Rus, we quote Igeres Shmuel, or with Lechem Dima. He wrote commentaries on these books of the Tanakh. So here we have the predecessor of the Arizal, and we have a disciple of the Arizal, and it would seem to me this will take us now into the direction of Pnimius HaTeira, of the mystical, esoteric teachings of Torah. Reb Moshe Cordoviro taught that this idea of Chelki Hashem, Chelki, God is my portion, Reb Moshe Cordoviro taught that this is the idea that the neshama, that the soul of a yid, is a chelik eleka mimal mamash, is actually a piece of God. Which is the words that the Alter Rebbe begins the second chapter of Tanya with. So this to me, chelki Hashem, my soul is a piece of God. My soul is a piece of God. And he says, chelki Hashem amarti, the Reb Moshe Cordoviro said, chelki Hashem amarti means, amarti, I said, shenishmosi, that my soul is a chelik eleka mimal mamash. I said my soul is a piece of God. And he said, what's the difference? What's the difference if my soul's a piece of God or my soul's not a piece of God? Why use that terminology? Why do we have to engage in that kind of mystical verbiage which doesn't even make sense to us? As the Rebbe Rashab once famously said, that line, that just that line, Chelik Elikam Mimal Mamash, seems to be, Alter Rebbe adds the word Mamash. The Mekubala Mitzvahs use the word Chelik Elikam Mimal, or that the Neshama is a portion of God from on high. The Alter Rebbe adds the word Mamash. Mamash means you could touch it. Literally. People say like Mamash. Literally. Comes the word Mimush, to touch something. So the Rebbe Rashab said, this is the essence of the soul. The essence of, if you want to know the essence of a Yiddish neshama is, and on one hand it's Mimal Mamash, it's the highest of the high. On the other hand, it's Mamash. It all has to be carried down into the concrete. The most practical, literal, actual reality. Because superficially, those two words are oxymoronic. Mimal is from on high, and Mamash is below. You couldn't find a greater distance. Like the difference of east and west. Can't find a greater distance than between Mimal and Mamash. But this ultimately is the point. The neshama is so godly, so heavenly. It's so holy, so that it should be so practical. So that it should be so literal or actual oriented. Like poil Mamash, as we say. Make it happen. So the Reb Moshe Kodaviro says, David HaMelech is saying here, Chelki Hashem Amarti. Earlier, perhaps he spoke of his faith. But now David HaMelech is speaking of his neshama. He says, you know who I am? Chelki Hashem. I'm a portion of God. What's the point of all that? So what if I'm a portion of God? The whole reason that God took a portion of himself and set it aside, so to speak, and sent it down to this world. God puts a piece of himself. He invests a piece of himself in a physical, corporeal reality, a physical body called a yid. Why does God do this for? The reason is, she'eshmer dvarecha, that I should do what Hashem wants. That's the whole purpose. In the words of the Ramak, he says it a little like this. He says, since I'm a portion of peace of God, certainly it's worthy that I should do what he says. But maybe to take that a step further, the way Chassidus Chabad puts it, if the whole purpose of the world is lasis leis zbarach dira betachtoinim, the whole reason Hashem created a universe is we should make a dwelling place for God here in this world. So because Chelki Hashem, because Hashem, I am a piece of God, because I am Chelik Elikam Mal Mamash, ask myself the question, what's the point? Or what's the meaning of life? People ponder the meaning of life. From a Yiddishkeit perspective, what is the meaning of life? And the answer is? The answer is the meaning of life is that this world should be the kind of place that God wanted it to be. And how does this world become the kind of place that God wanted it to be? When we study Torah, when we daven, when we do mitzvahs. When Yidden live their lives in accordance with the will of Hashem. When we influence all peoples of the world to be mindful of God and to live God-centric lives. That's how the world becomes a perfect place. And what is the ultimate goal of all the mitzvahs we perform and all the Yiddishkeit we invest ourselves in? That we should bring Mashiach. That's the ultimate goal. And if you think otherwise, it's like going to war and only caring about winning the particular skirmish, but forgetting about winning the war. We don't go into war to win a battle. You don't go to war to win a firefight. An army goes to war to win the war. The war is to destroy darkness. The war is to wipe out negativity and evil. It's a long slog. This is not a 130-year war. This is a 5,778-year war. But Emir Tzim Shun comes to an end. And the purpose of this war is to destroy all the darkness and to bring in the light, which is to bring Mashiach. So David HaMelech makes a statement. In Ramak's words, Chelki Hashem Amarti, I am a piece of God, and therefore, what do you do with that? What do you do with that knowledge that your neshama is mamash, literally a piece of God? What do you do with that? Lishmer dvorecha. I don't emote. I don't just feel good. I just get inspired. The most important thing is Lishmer dvorecha. There's a lot of people who believe in inspiration. They want to create events and make inspiration. And then they'll make more inspiration. And then they'll keep manufacturing inspiration. They make a tragic mistake. The point of inspiration is to lead to practice. That's where inspiration is supposed to go. It's not just enough to feel inspired, to feel proud, to feel Jewish. It's all about living Jewish. Doing what Hashem wants. Otherwise, it's pointless. And this is the meaning then of Chelki Hashem. Now, along the lines of what the Al-Sheikh said, incidentally, the Al-Sheikh lived in Tzfat at the same time as Reb Shmuel. The Shmuel Azuda, he lived Atsuda, by the way, is it's the name of a small Spanish town where he came from. And he migrated to Tzfat. He lived in the same place as the Alshech. For all we know, they must have known each other. So the teachings develop very interestingly, like parallel. The Alshech said that verse 57 is, this is what I deal with, the menagid, what's outside of me, then what I have to remember what's really inside of me. So, but the Alshech didn't study Kabbalah, didn't study with the Arizal. Reb Shmuel puts it in the language of mysticism, of Pnimius HaTeira. He says, I have to say to the world, Chelki Hashem. You know who I am? I'm a Yid. I'm a piece of God. And because I'm a piece of God, I have to translate that. That's why I can lishmor dvarecha. That's why I can do mitzvahs. That's why my mitzvahs are meaningful and profound and powerful. However, he says, don't get carried away with yourself. A person will say, I am God. I am a piece of God. No, for yourself, you have to know with humility, because chilisi fanecha, because God invested a piece of himself, so to speak, in us, we seek out God. We ask God for the compassion, for the grace. In other words, Reb Shmuel, he had a similar teaching to the Alshech, but in different in the terms of Pnimius HaTeira. Alshech said, there's the way I deal with the menaged, what's around me, and the way that I have to remember the humility for myself. He followed the teaching of Reb Moshe Cordovero, which I guess was also discussed by the Arizal. And he says, this idea of a chelik alikam mimal, and the Alter Rebbe says, mamash, that's the meaning of lishmer dvarecha. But remember, that's not for us to get arrogant about this. Ah, I have a neshama. I am a yid. I have a piece of God inside me. I have a piece of God inside me. That should be, that thought is, and should inspire me to do right. And what should it make me? It should make me so humble. It should make me yearn for God. If my neshama is a piece of God, what should my neshama desire? To cleave unto God, chilisi b'chol lev. I yearn for God. I hope for God. Perhaps rather than the way others interpret it as entreaty, but the way Rashi interpreted it, that of yearning and hoping. I hope for God, choneni kimrosecha, be gracious to me as per your saying. And that, my dear friends, is the meaning, I think at least some of the meaning, contained in the first two verses of the letter Ches found in Psalm 119. I hope you guys